Good morning. It is good to continue in our worship as we enter the time of the ministry of the Word. And let us begin by praying. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather together, to Lord, to spend time in your Word together as we have worshiped you through song and the prayers and at your table this morning as we have heard the scripture read. Father, it's just been a glorious morning as we consider all that was accomplished on our behalf, as we consider the great price that was paid so that we might have that living water. Father, we are so thankful. And Father, we ask that you would bless this time in your Word. Father, we just ask that you would strengthen the saints, that you would bring life to dead flesh as we are in your Word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, as I've been considering, kind of thinking through this week, and I was thinking as we were reading all the text, as we were reading the text of the incarnation this morning, as we were reading those texts that declared that the King had come, as we read those texts. You know, when you think about it, you know, sometimes we think of those texts and we see the angels proclaiming that the Messiah had been born, that, you know, there was joy brought to the earth. As they were proclaiming that, sometimes we see that picture, that time, and think, oh, if we could only go back to that time, if we could have just been there when the Messiah was born. But, you know, as we think of that, as we think of the birth of the Messiah, and we saw heaven open and the angels praising, thinking about the incarnation, as you think about that, think about, like, however many years later it was, say 33 years or 32 or however many years later it was, as he was hanging on the tree. If we would have been there on the birth, where would we have been the day that he hung on the tree? It's very possible we would have been standing there saying, crucify him, crucify him. So I think we should praise God that we were born on this side of the cross. It's a glorious, glorious thing that we're born on this side of the cross. And as we think of the text of the incarnation, and I weigh it each year, you know, this is a traditional thing that we do in our country with Christmas, but you know, that's been debated over the years. As we think of all that text, I can't help but always continually be drawn back to right where we're at in Acts. Because it's a glorious time. I mean, we've seen the incarnation read about this morning, all that text read about, the birth of the Savior. Yet the time we're in Acts, we're seeing the church spread out to the Gentile nation, our Gentile nations, the gospel going forth away from the Jews towards us. And it's a glorious, glorious thing. So I find joy right where we're at in the text in Acts. So this morning we're going to continue in Acts chapter 15. And I hope that you see that same joy. I see the birth of the Savior, and it draws me to the cross and into this as we see the gospel go forth and bring life to dead flesh. And we've been in Acts chapter 15 for a few weeks, and I just wanted to kind of think about and remember where we're at. You know, the last several weeks we've discussed this, the council in Jerusalem. You remember Paul and Barnabas went on the first missionary trip. They went up through Cyprus and went up into kind of the southern part of what was called Galatia at that time. But they went up into Pamphylia, through Cyprus, up into Pamphylia, up into that region. And they had seen many Gentiles converted. You know, they had preached the gospel in these areas. First to the Jews rejected them, and then they proclaimed the gospel to the Gentiles, and Gentiles and Jews had been converted in the area, and there had been little churches that began in all those areas. even among the persecution. It just amazes me to see Paul go into those areas, preach the gospel, be driven out, stoned, and he goes to the next area. You know, and I think of myself, if I went there, you know, sometimes you might think, well, that was just a disaster, you know. But you see that the gospel was preached, and the gospel brought new life. There were believers there. There were churches in those areas that they traveled through. But they went through there, and all these glorious things happened. People were brought to life. Gentiles believed the gospel. They were meeting together. These things happened. They were driven back, and they came back rejoicing to Antioch, to the church in Antioch. And they came back to the church and told them what all had happened. And the church was rejoicing, hearing of all of this good news, the gospel was going out, producing life. Then they're back in Antioch, and these men come down from Jerusalem and begin to teach the believers there, you must be circumcised to be saved. You know, it's not enough to believe this gospel. You must be circumcised. You must become Jews like we are. You must become like we are, and then you can enter into this new life. The idea, it's not enough for you just to believe the gospel. You need to kind of get into this spot, and then the door only is through becoming a Jew. And you think about you saw the discussion that Paul had. You know, there was not much, how do you say it? Not much debate and discussion or but Paul had a fierce discussion with them. And so after much discussion, they, along with the whole church, decided to send Paul and Antioch to Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem to deal with the issue. So they went to Jerusalem and they met, and we had the council. And after much discussion, the church in Jerusalem, along with the elders and apostles, decided it would be good to send a letter. And so let's read from taking off in Acts 22. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers. I love that. The brothers. Both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. That's a glorious, glorious verse there. The brothers in Jerusalem, the brothers to the brothers who are of the Gentiles, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord. Now, notice, go back up to verse 22. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders and the whole church. The whole church. This is including these, I believe it's including these believers that were of the Pharisees that were in the church. You know, they came to a conclusion. They were in agreement, the whole church. And then we go back down. It has seemed good to us in verse 25, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Saul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. farewell. What a glorious letter. And so they chose those men, and then we continue in verse 30. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So being sent off, these four, and I think there were others, but they chose to send with Paul and Barnabas, Judas and Silas, and we were told that Paul and Barnabas and some others were sent to Jerusalem. So they were sent off from Jerusalem along with Paul and Barnabas. There was Judas and Silas, and they all went down to Antioch. And we see that they gathered the church together. So they brought the church together, the whole congregation. This congregation that had received that false teaching. You know, so think about it just a minute. This is the congregation that heard the false teaching. These men had come in. This is the congregation, the believers who had seen that the dispute between Paul and these men that came down. This is the congregation that sent Paul and Barnabas and the others to Jerusalem to deal with the question. And they're gathered together here. So can you imagine that? I always tend to think about what if I was in that situation? You know, what if we were in the congregation and we had sent Paul and Barnabas off to Jerusalem? Because I'm sure that it caused some confusion among them. Think about it. Caused some confusion. Think about what they might have been thinking as Paul and Barnabas were gone. Because these were Gentile believers. I'm sure the other leaders in the church agreed with Paul and Barnabas, but you can imagine them thinking, have we believed in vain? No. You know, I'm sure that they didn't think that way, but there had to be some confusion among them. Do we need to become Jews first? All of this stuff that's going on. But you see, as soon as they heard the letter, what happened? When they delivered the letter, when they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. So you can just imagine an ancient time among the church, and they hear of Paul and Barnabas are returning, and they have some leading men, some of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, and they're coming, and they gather the congregation together and read that letter, and there's rejoicing among the congregation because of the encouragement. Can you imagine the rejoicing as they're thinking, did these men, were they sent from Jerusalem to teach us this? And then they hear from the brothers to the brothers, from the brethren in Jerusalem to the brothers who are of the Gentiles, and they rejoiced. They rejoiced. And there's much rejoicing going on, rejoicing and relief among the church. And we see here Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, talked about them being leading men in the church in Jerusalem, who were themselves prophets. They encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. So they continued to strengthen them. And it said in the letter, as was said in the letter in verse 27, it said, "We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth," the same things of this letter. So they stayed and they strengthened and encouraged them, taught for some time with many words, it says, with many words by mouth. And so you can imagine the encouragement and the joy that this brought to the church in Antioch. This joy that we experienced this joy. I've experienced it when you see brothers from different cultures, different areas, and they come and they teach and preach the gospel. And you see that you see that union that you have in Christ. You know, you see, and some of you experience that as people have come from other cultures. And that brotherhood kind of bind, it kind of crosses all of those boundaries that we have between cultures. So they came in and they stayed, and they themselves, prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And we see the joy that came to the church there. And now the church had not only the reinforcement from Judas and Silas, they had the reinforcement, but they also had this letter in hand, this official letter in hand that had come from Jerusalem, that they had their gospel confirmed. They had the gospel confirmed that salvation was by faith in Christ, Jew and Gentile alike. It was confirmed that this life-changing gospel that they had heard was complete. It was the complete good news. I believe that they believed it already, but now it's confirmed. There was, you know, this problem that had come up, this question that had come up had been dealt with. You know, they did encourage them to live a certain way, to avoid certain things, to abstain from these things, so that it will be well with you. You know, it was like the idea that but they didn't add any. They did not add requirements to be saved, but there were some some idea that you're Gentiles, you live outside of the Jewish traditions. These are some things, if you'll abstain from these things, it will go well with you. It will be well with you. So it was a glorious, glorious thing. So they had confirmed the gospel of salvation by faith in Christ for Jew and Gentile alike. They had this life-changing gospel confirm. And so the church is joyful. Everything is going well. And we see that the others were sent off after they had spent some time. They were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. So Judas and Silas were sent off. And in verse 35 we read, "But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." So Paul and Barnabas continued there. They stayed and teach for some time in Antioch, preaching the word of the Lord. And notice also the "with many others also." There were others there. Remember, they had a strong leadership in Antioch that sent Paul and Barnabas off originally. They had other teachers and preachers and prophets there. So this just a glorious time right now, right? They got the letter back. Everything's confirmed. The gospel is, it's a glorious thing going on. And Paul and Barnabas are here teaching among us. And then we read in 36. "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are.'" So after they had been some time holding the letter in hand in this strong established church, we see that Paul began to think, and Paul suggested to Barnabas, "Let's return and visit the brothers. Let's return to the cities we've been. Let's go see how the brothers, those who have believed, let's see how they are. Those that we preached the word of the Lord to, let's go check on the churches that we left." And so Paul says this to Barnabas. And you can imagine, I can imagine, the idea they have this letter in hand and they're thinking of all of these Gentile churches where they've been, where they preached to the Jews and then the Gentiles. The idea that, let's go back and check on these churches and take this good news back to them. You know, we actually see that's what they did in 16 verses 4 through 5. "As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them the observance, the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily." So that's what they did. They went around and actually delivered this good news of, of what the church, the conclusion that the church in Jerusalem had made. And we see that, but also let's look in verse 36 again. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Wow. You know, we've all read this. I know you all read this, but maybe maybe some of the kids haven't thought about it. We've talked about it previously, as we were back in when they first went into Pamphylia, when Mark left. But as you think about this, we think about it, the idea that Paul desired to go into these areas, and then we see Barnabas agreeing with the idea to go, but he wants to take John Mark with him. And we see Paul thought it best not to take with them the one who had left them. It would be wise not to take them. And this sort of slaps me in the face if we haven't read it before and we get to this point. You know, if you just forget that you've ever read this before, and think about this. I mean, they've come back from Jerusalem with this letter, and there's joy in the church, and they're sitting there in harmony, preaching and teaching. They went on this glorious trip. Many people were born again. Churches were established, and here they are. And we see this sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas here. It's just a strange thing, and if you want to see proof sometimes that, you know, if people tell you that these apostles in this early time, they put this book together, you know, and just created this new religion, and if you want to see proof that this is the Word of God, a person in their flesh would not leave some of these texts in the Scripture. You know what I'm saying? There's some of these places, there would not be a reason to leave this in the Scripture, and we actually begin to see the humanity of these men when we see them do things that are not exactly right, when we see disagreements like this, or when we see as far as Peter acting in a certain way when the Jews came, you know, you see all of these things that happen. So it's kind of like the Scripture shows us that these men were human men, but they were led by the Holy Spirit. But we see here a sharp disagreement. And so we see brought out here that Paul did not think highly of Mark leaving them when they were, you know, it was just mentioned quickly if we read it, in Acts 13:13. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem. That's all it says in that text. At that moment, John left them and returned to Jerusalem. So it's not really told us that Paul disagreed with him leaving, but we can see from our text this morning that Paul did not appreciate him leaving, or did not think it was wise that he left, or did not agree with him leaving at the time. We're not told why he left. You know, that's all we were told, what we saw in that verse, that he and John left them and returned to Jerusalem. And we might question, why did he leave? You know, was it a disagreement, possibly, of them going up into Gentile regions, maybe? Was it maybe a fear of the persecution that John Mark saw, possibly, going up in those regions? Was he just homesick? You know what I mean? He could have been homesick. Remember, when Peter was put in prison and he escaped and he went back to that house? It was John Mark's mother's house in Jerusalem when Peter came back, where they were gathered praying. Maybe he was homesick. you know, we're not really told, but there was some type of immaturity, some kind of reason that he left that Peter did not agree with. I mean, Paul, I'm sorry, that Paul did not agree with. So we're not told why he left, but we can see in our text this morning that Paul did not like that he left. And here we see Barnabas and Paul disagree, and it was that sharp disagreement. We could say, like in the text previous, there was no little disagreement. There was a sharp disagreement between them. And so I've got to ask you, which one of them was correct? They disagree in here. Which one was correct? You know, I've kind of always read this, and, you know, in the past I've read this and thought, when I read this, it's sort of like I have this, almost like a mourning, like, man, Paul and Barnabas are splitting up here. You almost look at it and go, what is Barnabas thinking? You know, that's the first thing that comes into my mind. What is Barnabas thinking? This is Paul the Apostle. Well, we sort of need to remember who Barnabas was also. I mean, there's a little more to Barnabas than what we might try to discount him in this. And we might look at both of them and go, why are you splitting over such an insignificant thing? We see in verse 39 that Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. And it seems like he left pretty quick. And then we see in 40 and 41, but Paul chose Silas and departed. And then we see, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. You know, there's no mention of Barnabas down in this part. You know, it seems like maybe the church is supporting Paul and Silas as they depart and they send them off. But, you know, we're really not told here that either one of them were sinning in this. I don't think there's any rebuke of Barnabas anywhere in the scripture for this. I don't think it clearly teaches. I assume that Barnabas messed up. You know, that's sort of my thinking. He disagreed with Paul, but I don't think it clearly speaks of it as a sinful thing happening here. It speaks of them thinking differently. There's a sharp disagreement here. Barnabas just thinks they should bring John Mark. Paul doesn't. Well, let me just tell you, I think that Barnabas, what we see here is Barnabas showing his personality in the way that he deals with this. And you see a little bit of Paul's personality here also. But I think what Barnabas does is there is a disagreement here. And I think Barnabas is just doing what he thought was best. Would be to forgive John Mark, bring him back in, encourage him, support him, build him up, strengthen him, develop him. And then I think you see Paul also, you know, completely doing what he thinks is what they should do, is not trust him to come along on this trip, you know, back to these areas, as he abandoned them previously. And if you think just a little bit about Barnabas, when we first see Barnabas in Acts 4:36, we see him referred to as, thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus. So the apostles called Barnabas son of encouragement. Son of encouragement, I think because of he was gifted in that and encouraging. That's what God gifted him in, encouraging. It also means comfort, son of encouragement or son of comfort. So Barnabas, in his nature, was an encourager, a comforter, one who would build up those who need it. You know, one who would tend to bring someone like John Mark back and encourage him in the faith, encourage him in his walk. So I think it was in Barnabas' nature to respond this way. He would encourage one like this. And we see him also described in 11:22-24. He's described further. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So you see here this description of Barnabas as being, he recognized the grace of God, he was glad, he exhorted. But it says he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. So you see some of the description of Barnabas and his personality. He was an encourager, one who would one who was a good man, who was full of the Holy Spirit, and he exhorted these people to remain faithful to the Lord. He recognized the grace of God. We see this in Barnabas. We also see it if you go all the way back with Barnabas when he first met Saul. We saw it. We see Saul come to Jerusalem in Acts 9:26-27. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. This is talking about Saul, or Paul as we now call him. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. So all the apostles, the disciples, were all afraid of him, didn't believe that Saul was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord and who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So here we see Barnabas, the first time that he was around Saul, bringing, you know, they didn't want to have anything to do with Saul. And what does Barnabas do? He brings him in anyway and declares to the apostles, brings him before the apostles, brought him in, declared how he'd seen the Lord, how he'd been preaching in Damascus. So we see Barnabas here even doing a similar thing with Saul when he first met him. That was Barnabas. The encourager. That was Barnabas, the comforter. That was Barnabas, the one who builds people up, those in need. Here we see the disciples not even wanting to have anything to do with Saul, and he brings him in. And I think that's what we see Barnabas doing here with Saul. He's disagreeing with Paul. He's disagreeing with Paul. But I think that he sees that Paul's rejecting John Mark, but Barnabas sees that John Mark needs to be encouraged and brought along. And I think that's what we see in him. And I know that Paul later agreed. You know, they split. And we often think of this, maybe they were angry and they just didn't like each other anymore and they just split. But we see in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul saying, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Also the books and above all the parchments. And people believe that's the same John Mark. You know, so here Paul's asking for John Mark to come. So we see that later on in Paul's life, he saw the usefulness of John Mark. All of this had been healed. And so I think what we see here in the text, in this split, we see Barnabas doing what he thought was right. We see Paul doing what he thought was right. They both strongly believed what they believed. And we see them, we begin to split, or we see the split because of it. So let me just ask you, do you think one of these were in sin because of the disagreement. Was Barnabas sinning in this? I don't think the scripture tells us that. I don't think it does. I think that this, but one was wrong. They both believed something, and there was, you know, one thing was right. But I think God uses these type of situations for a purpose. God intended for them to split right here. You know, you can't look at it and say, oh man, what if Paul and Barnabas would have stayed together? Well, what if they had? What would not have happened? What would not have happened? And so God uses these things in among believers, among serious-minded believers who are seeking to do the will of God in all that they do. God uses these disagreements. It was not a doctrinal dispute. This is just a disagreement on how we should proceed to split people, to move people different directions for purpose. For purpose. So we can know that God intended for this to happen. So here we have John Mark, who must have been there with them. You know, he must have traveled back. John Mark is there in Jerusalem, traveled back to the council. I think you see John Mark hearing of or knowing of this stern rebuke from Paul that he shouldn't come. You see the disagreement. But then also you see this defense from Barnabas, where Barnabas and Paul actually split. So John Mark sees that Barnabas supporting him enough that he would split, but also knowing that Paul thought that he had messed up enough that he should not have gone on any more trips. And I think you see in this the maturing and the sanctification of this John Mark. God uses both sides of this to change him into someone that is very useful for the ministry. So we see here that I think we see them split, but I think we might be misreading the text or reading into the text if we think that this split led to Paul and Barnabas being separated. I think that they just mutually agreed, hey, we're thinking differently. Let's go these different directions. I see no reason not to think that way. You don't see any idea of Paul being angry about it. You see nothing like that. So in my mind, I think they talked about it and decided, hey, you go here and I go there. That's the way I think about it. And we'll see that as we look at something a little bit later. But here Paul and Barnabas separate. So now we got, instead of Paul and Barnabas going back to see the churches, what do we have? We have Barnabas and Mark going this direction, and we have Paul and Silas going this direction. So instead of having one group of people, we've split, and we now have two going. And if you look at where they went and think about where they went, we see that Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And then if you go back up, Barnabas took Mark with him, and they sailed away to Cyprus. So you see them going two separate ways. And the way I am, I just sort of like to see a picture of it. And if you see the orange in this picture, you see Barnabas and John Mark kind of went same way that Paul and Barnabas went originally. They go to Cyprus. And then you see Paul and Silas went through Syria to Cilicia. And if you think about Cilicia, Tarsus is in Cilicia. So basically you see both of these men going back to their home countries. You see Barnabas was from Cyprus and Paul was from Tarsus, and they go that direction. But it says as they went. Now notice that Paul and Silas, as they went, they're separated. Barnabas goes to Cyprus and kind of starts that journey, and it appears that he stayed there in Cyprus. But notice that Paul doesn't follow the same journey, but he goes up north, and he's going through churches up there. What is cool is as he's going along, it says that he strengthened the churches in Syria and Cilicia. Now do y'all remember him going to Cilicia in the first journey? He didn't, but you remember where Paul was, where Saul went, you know, he went back to Tarsus when he was at Tarsus when Barnabas sent for him. So we see that there were churches started in Cilicia also, and as they traveled through, they strengthened those churches, delivered the good news of this letter to those Gentile churches as they went up through that area. And it's just awesome to think that he goes up through that area strengthening the churches. And I'm trying to remember if I have that text. No. But he returns to Tarsus where he was, and that's where Barnabas originally went to get him is where he ends up going. And it's just awesome to think that there were churches all in this area that were already flourishing, and they began to share that news with them. And then he traveled as far as, let's just read this section in 16, just because Paul goes up to Cilicia, and Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. So he goes through Cilicia to Derbe and Lystra. Let me see if I have, let's see. Yeah, so he goes, if you'll see, he goes up to Tarsus, up there to that A in Cilicia, and then he leaves from there, from Cilicia, and he goes back up to Derbe and Lystra. And then in Lystra, we see that he, let me go back, getting mixed up here. So Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And we'll talk about that more later, I'm sure. But as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observances the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So we see Barnabas and Paul split, but we see Barnabas and John Mark back in Cyprus, where tradition has it. I mean, some of the early church writings has it that Barnabas stayed in Cyprus and ministered in the churches there and died an old man there. So they're split, but they're not. Barnabas kind of disappears. He kind of fades from our view, but he doesn't disappear. He continues to minister. He continues to preach and teach. But now the focus will completely shift to Paul. But notice that it's just awesome that as Paul goes up to Derbe and Lystra, what happens? He finds another disciple there named Timothy that he brings along that will play a major role as we go forward. And it's just a glorious, glorious thing as we see these, even through the split, the gospel goes out. The gospel produces fruit, continues to produce fruit. And I just want to quickly kind of just say a few closing things, just a few closing thoughts as we think about this text. As we see this text, and that we often see things like this happen and think that this is sort of a bad thing. You know, just as we saw persecution come and we see the gospel spread out, we saw Stephen stoned and what happened? The gospel spread out by Stephen's witness. People standing there that were watching him be stoned heard what he preached. And no doubt there were people who heard things that Stephen said, and when they saw him and his face looked like an angel, they saw that and it produced fruit. In the same way, we see this disagreement among brothers here cause them to go separate ways, yet we see the ministry split for good reasons. You see, instead of two in one place, we see four, you know, splitting up in different areas. And I just want us to kind of consider and think about as we go through our lives, as we are around men in the ministry, as we've got elders here, and as we've all been, most of us that are older have been in other places you know, you've been in other churches, you've experienced things in your lives that might have brought disappointment or caused you sometimes to question, you know, the idea of the church at all, you know, should the church, or the idea of the organization of the church at all. We've all faced things like that, you know, where you kind of question, is there a purpose in this organization sometimes, you know, but and you've been hurt, possibly hurt by other people as you're in certain situations where they sinned against you possibly, or maybe you sinned against them and you caused some argument where there was just a division where you just couldn't be together anymore, something like that. You begged for forgiveness. You've asked them to forgive you. I've had that situation where there was just a sharp disagreement. I and another guy just had a complete disagreement about a particular thing that had nothing to do with doctrine. It was nothing to do with that. It was something like that. And he left angrily, and I probably kind of pushed him out where he left angrily. And it was a heartbreaking thing. And we separated. But I've asked for forgiveness. I don't know if he's forgiven me, but we're separated. But through all of that, I grew. You know, it's like all of those things that we face in our lives are there for a purpose. I hope that he grew, you know, and it influenced him some way, even though we're separated. And so as we see things like that, as we see things that we bump up against where it's not so much doctrinal, but where it's like just some kind of disagreement in practice or something, you know, something that's not significant, we should try to come to agreement. But those times in our past where we've not come to agreement and we split, let's kind of see it like this. You know, there's purpose in a lot of those things. As long as we're not in sin, or if we've sinned against someone, we've asked them for forgiveness, we can still see that God uses those situations for his own glory, for his own purpose. There's a reason there's a First Baptist Church and a Second Baptist Church in the town. Sometime, at some point, somebody got in an argument over the color of the carpet or something. You know, something insignificant. You know, there's things like that happen and churches split, but now there's two churches in those towns. So let us not always see those things as completely being, you know, just a terrible negative thing. But also another thing I think that's something we should notice, that God uses those types of things for his own glory. But also notice he uses different people with their differing personalities, sometimes for a purpose, as you see with Barnabas and Paul here. You know, they split in this and went different directions, yet God used Barnabas' personality and his gifts to bring John Mark along. And I think he also used Paul and his gifts, you know, to rebuke John Mark in this, where you see a change in him. But let us remember also that God intended for Barnabas and Paul to separate here. He intended for Paul to go and find this young disciple named Timothy and bring him along. And and I feel that he used the thing also for Barnabas. We don't know what happened to Barnabas exactly, but we just have to know that Barnabas continued along in the faith. And as we kind of close out today, I hope that you're not disappointed in not having a Christmas message this morning. But I do pray that we do see the glory as we look at the early church. As we see their mistakes or maybe moves that were made, we don't want to read too much into a lot of, when we're doing a narrative, we don't want to develop our doctrine based on a narrative. But we can see in the way that all of these parts are moving around, we see how God is using these people with different personalities in different places and different cultures and times to develop, to bring people out of these different areas, to bring people out to to build his kingdom. He's bringing people out from different nations, different tongues, different cultures, and building his kingdom. And when we see the baby that was born on the, when we see Jesus that was God the Son for all eternity, decided to humble himself and put on flesh and be born as a helpless baby, grow into a man and die for sinners. It was for the purpose of what we see being worked out in our texts and Acts as the church spreads. I mean, it was in Jerusalem and we see it just spreading, beginning to spread here. And it's just a glorious, glorious thing. And may God bless his word.